have our scripture reading for tonight, and it comes to us from early on in the Bible, from Genesis chapter 3. So this is right after God creates the world, creates Adam and Eve, and sets them in the garden. And so Adam and Eve are there, and then we begin with verse 1 in Genesis 3, where it starts, "Now the serpent was craftier than any other of the wild animals that the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, 'Did God really say you shall not eat from any tree in the garden?' And the woman said to the serpent, 'We can eat of the fruit of the trees in the garden, but God said that you shall not eat the fruit of the tree that's in the middle of the garden, nor should you touch it, or you will die.' But the serpent said to the woman, 'You won't die, for God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil.' So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, that it was a delight to the eyes, and that the tree was to be desired to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate it. And she also gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate. Then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they knew that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together and made loincloths for themselves. They heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden at the time of the evening breeze, and the man and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. But God called to the man and said to him, 'Where are you?' He said, I heard the sound of you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself.' God said, 'Who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree of which I commanded you not to eat?' And the man said, 'Well, the woman whom you gave to be with me, she gave me the fruit from the tree, and I ate.' And the Lord God said to the woman, 'What is this that you have done?' The woman said, 'The serpent tricked me, and I ate.'" That's the end of our reading for today. So I have a question for y'all. How many of you have ever made a mistake before? Show of hands. Yeah. And how many of you, you can keep your hands up if you've ever tried to hide that mistake after you've made it? Oh, good. I'm not alone in that. Okay, that makes me feel a little better. So I have a couple stories for you. One was when I was in fifth grade, my younger brother Adam was in second grade, and this was the first year that we got to come home on the bus together. And we would have about 90 minutes before our parents would come home from work. And so one afternoon, we were talking on the way home, and we said, you know what's a great idea? We should play Nerf football in our living room. Brilliant idea. Nothing could go wrong. But my friends, something went wrong. So on our table in our living room, there was a plant in this little pot. And on one of our ESPN top 10 highlight reel catches, we knocked into this plant, and it fell down, and dirt poured out all over onto our carpet. So we said, okay, no problem. You know what fixes dirt? We'll get a wet washcloth and we'll scrub it. Does not work. It does not work at all. It was not the right move. We were making mud and then scrubbing it deeper into the carpet. Well, okay, we thought that didn't work, so we couldn't really get rid of the stain, so you know what we'll do? We'll just hide it. We'll shift all the furniture in the living room about 2 feet to the right so that the stain would be underneath the chair. And then years later, when we move the chair, we can both be, oh, what? Oh, look at that. How did that get there? When did that happen? We were really committed to this. We thought this was a fantastic idea. And so we had made the mistake. We couldn't fix it, so we did the next best thing, we thought, and we hid it. No, not at all. Right? We'll get to that in a bit. I know. Well, listen, we should have caught it, but I am not that great of a football player, so I think you might overestimate my football abilities, Axel. I might have been the one who knocked it down, but I can't quite say. So a few years later, I was 16 years old. It was the last day of school, and I had my driver's license for 13 whole days. Now, one of the things you need to know about this time in particular is that the hit movie of the day was the cinematic masterpiece called The Fast and the Furious. And now, if you've never seen it, the only things that you really need to know is that cars drive real fast. That's the premise of the whole movie. So we finish school. School's out for the summer. My friends and I are going to go play Fast and Furious in my 1987 Mercury Sable. So picture the nicest car you've ever seen, and then the opposite of that. And that's what we're working with here. So we are driving down the road. We're maybe four blocks from my house when I look in the rear view and I see some red and blue lights go on. I hear some sirens go, and I hear a, "Please pull over to the side of the road." The officer asks for my license. I give it to him. He goes back to the car. He comes back later with a ticket. He starts saying my phone number. He says, "Is this your home number?" So we didn't have cell phones back in the day. Like, those weren't a thing, so it was like home numbers. I said, "Yep, that's my home number." "Okay," the officer says. He says, "I'm going to call your house tonight and let your parents know what you were doing out here." He hands me my ticket, says, "You're free to go." So feeling very busted, naturally, I did the only logical thing to do. I went home and I hid every phone in our house, because they can't answer the phone if they can't find the phones. This is naturally the thing to do, right? I know, right? Yeah. Foolproof idea. Now, what makes me feel a little bit better, and maybe can make you feel a little bit better about this too, is that impulse to hide our mistakes. When we make a mistake and our first thing is, "Oh, we got to hide this," like, that's not ours alone. Like, you're not the only one to have that kind of impulse. It goes all the way back to the first people in the garden. Oh, you'll find out what happens with the dirt thing. The only thing that God asked them not to do was eat the fruit from that one tree. And what do you think they did? They ate the fruit from that one tree. And their first impulse is to hide. Said, "Oh no." And so they hid. And so God tries to seek them out, but God can't find them and knows that something is wrong. And so God comes right out and asks them. And one of the first things that Adam does is he tries to break off the relationship. He says, no, "This woman that you gave to me, we're not friends, I don't know her. This woman you gave to me, she's the one who tricked me. She told me to eat the apple," right? The first impulse is just, these are not healthy things to do. We just keep screwing up. And so these last couple weeks, we've talked about how God created us with a purpose. And for the purpose of being in right relationship with God and with each other and with all creation. And right here in this story, in the third chapter of the whole Bible, we see all of the ways that we can mess it up. But so one of the things that we do, and sometimes when our mistakes disrupt that right relationship, or they disrupt put our relationships out of whack, whether it's with God, with each other, or with creation, one of the things that we can do is we can come clean, right? Like, we can stop hiding. And that's kind of what we did at the beginning of worship here. It was like, "God, we really messed up," right? We admit we screwed up. So it won't surprise you that after my brother and I spilled the dirt and then made mud in our living room, my mom came home and it took her less than 2 seconds to ask, "Why is all the furniture moved over?" And so we told her what happened. And we apologized and we did what we could do to make it right. And we're forgiven. And we learned, you don't make mud when dirt is there. You just don't do that. Right? And it will also not surprise you that the brilliant plan to hide all the phones in the house didn't work either. So it turns out the officer never called, but about 2 weeks later, my mom comes in with the mail and says, "Eric?" I say, "Yeah." "On the last day of school, what were you doing going 47 and a 25 a few blocks from here?" "What? That's oddly specific of you to know. How do you know that? Turns out they mail a copy of the ticket to the house, and I was busted, and hiding didn't work yet again. Right, but again, we had a conversation. I admitted I messed up. My mom forgave me, and we decided the consequence was I'd have to pay the difference in car insurance when the rate inevitably went a little higher the next time around. So in the creation story, God says, don't eat the fruit from the tree or you will die. And they eat the fruit, but they don't die, do they? No. The Bible would be awful short if that's how it ended. Right? Instead, God says, okay, you won't die, but you have to leave the garden. It's one of the very first acts of grace in the Bible. That's all I want to do, right? Like when someone says, don't open the box. If I say, you can think of anything you want in the world, but you can't think of a purple elephant. Well, now I want to think about a purple elephant, right? Yeah, exactly. Right? We're all going to mess up. We're all going to fall short. We're all going to do things that could mess up our relationship with God or with each other or with creation. But one of the things that I know about God is that God is always ready to forgive. And so when we come to God and we say, God, we really messed up, God always meets us with a word of forgiveness. And I think most of the time this is true with each other and with creation as well. When we realize our mistake, we do what we can to try to do something different. And more often than not, we're met with a second chance to try again. And for that, we can say thanks be to God.